just go into the word. Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. I will say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. There is no contradiction as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with simplicity. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, so we started looking at a study on the book of Revelation yesterday. And it's going to be a week-long teaching meeting we're going to have. Yes, we are going to have a week-long teaching meeting on that book of Revelation. And I promised us this for a while now. And we just got to teach what we need to teach, okay? So, if you're with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, talk with me to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Sounds interesting that I'm starting to teach from the book of Revelation, right? Okay, you would have thought Matthew 28. Yeah, we could still go there. In fact, we'll really end there. Yeah, but look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Your Bible should read this, yeah? It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, the first thing you see there is revelation, not revelations, okay? So, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, look at it. It says, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. It says, who bear record of the word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. See verse 3, says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, a background check to this. Now, the writer of the book of Revelation is the man called John. Right? The man called John is the writer of the book of, so the revelation or the book of Revelation is a revelation written by the man called John. So it's going to be very wise for us as believers to see if this John has a previous writing. Okay, so let's go back to his previous writings. So the same author of the book of Revelation is the same author of the book of John, and is the same author of the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So go back to John chapter 1 quickly. So look at how John starts in John 1, right? John 1. Look at John 1, verse 1. Look at how John starts John 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And things, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Yeah, so in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Now, you see, John opens up his first writings with the beginning and the Word and the light. So, he speaks about the beginning, and in the beginning there was the Word, and in the beginning there was light, and that light, there was life, yeah, there was life, and that life was the light of men. Right? So John opens up his first writings with, in the beginning was the Word. That's, we've taught extensively in church how by extension he's really explaining to a large extent what you call the first, the writings of Moses, Genesis. Right? So when you read Moses, you see, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. Yeah? When you read John, John tells you what truly is in that beginning. And it says, in that beginning was the Word. Right? It now tells you in the Word, rather, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you go back to Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Right? So in the writings of the beginning and the creation of the heaven and earth, John makes you see that there is such a thing that exists as the Word in Genesis 1. Now go to 1 John 1. You see, John talks about light. Look at 1 John 1 quickly. Look at 1 John 1, verse 1. It's interesting to see what I'm about to show you, right? So look at 1 John 1:1, right? 1 John 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Look at that carefully. Yeah, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. And we declare unto you that God is light, and in him there is no what? Darkness. Go back to John 1. Go back to John 1. Yeah? What is the message? That God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Look at John 1:1. In John 1:4, rather. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So can you see? John makes you see that what is fundamental in the beginning is light. So, and the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Are we together? Now, look at what he now says in verse 6. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. So he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now look at verse 14. He says, and the word was made flesh. Are we together? So the word is the life, and the life is the light. Yeah, the word is the life that exists in the beginning, and the light that exists in the beginning that shines without darkness being able to comprehend. Right? So what happens to the word? He tells you, he says, the word in verse 14 was made flesh and dwelt amongst. Yeah, he existed amongst, right? So the word was made flesh. The word was made to exist. Yeah, we've done a study on that, right? So, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst. Right? So what is the word that was made flesh? The life that is the light. What did John tell you in 1 John? He says, this is the message. Yeah, we declare to you that God is light. Right? Are we together? So go to John's revelation. Go to Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 1. So if the word was made flesh in John's first writing, and the word that was made flesh is Jesus Christ, yeah, if John now tells you that in Revelation 1:1, it starts with the revelation of Jesus Christ, it means that what John is about to reveal is light. It means that what John is about to reveal is life. It means that what John is about to reveal is light. So light, life, which is the word. Did you get that? So look at it again. Look at verse 2. Who bore record of the word of God? So you see, 1 John 1 has the word, has the life, has light. John 1 has light, has life, has the word. Revelation has light, the word. So the same thing. Now go to Galatians 1 quickly. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Quickly go with me to Galatians chapter 1. And let me show you something quickly there, okay? Look at Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, but though we, look at that verse 8 again, but though we, so Paul is saying, even though we or an angel from a so-called heaven should preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Are we together? Yeah, so it means that if the writer of Revelation preaches another gospel, yeah, Paul tells you, let him be accursed. The word there, accursed, is the word that deals with being separate, being put aside, being put away. So let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Let him be put away. So if Revelation, the book of Revelation, doesn't reveal light or doesn't reveal life or doesn't reveal the word, what do? We put the book of Revelation away. Are we together? Look at verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man should preach any other gospel, if any should preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So the gospel is a message that is preached to man and man receives. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Look at that again. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now, who is writing Corinthians? Paul. Who wrote Galatians? Paul. What did Paul tell you in Galatians? Yeah, he says, any other message different from the gospel which you have heard, which has been preached and which you received, let him be accursed. So what is the gospel? He tells you what the gospel is. Look at verse 2. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. What did he also receive? He received that which he gave, which he delivered, which is the gospel. What is now that gospel? How that Christ died for sins according to the scriptures. So it means that the totality of scriptures will give you a conclusion or a theme or a central focus that Christ died for sins. Yeah, so it will interest you to see that it didn't say sins, comma, prosperity, comma, whatever you want to add there, right? Died for sins, yeah, according to the scriptures. So for a believer to teach anything that Christ died for outside sin is another gospel. Paul says, put it aside. So Paul didn't teach it, Peter didn't teach it, Jesus never taught it, and they will not teach it. Okay? Yeah. So if Paul says if a preacher should preach that Christ died for sins and other addendums or other things, yeah, what did Paul say? Put him aside. Put that teaching away. Don't go close to. He said, let it be accursed. Let it be separated. Don't mix it with your doctrine. Yeah. So can a man teach Christ died for prosperity? Yes, but not according to scriptures. You would have to twist scriptures to get to that conclusion. Are we together? So look at verse 5. And when he look at verse 4 rather, let me not jump. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Dear saints, yeah, when he says according to the scriptures, that is not Genesis to Revelation, right? So at the time, you would call scriptures Genesis to Malachi, so to say. That's what you call the writings of Moses and the writings of the prophets. So according to the scriptures, what is the message of the gospel? Christ died for sins. And he was buried, and he rose again for sins. Sin. Yeah, so Christ died for sins, that he, and he rose again, and he shed, and now he shed his light to man, for man to receive his light. So when man receives his light, man receives his word. Did you get that? Yeah, that's from John. Yeah, look at it again. Okay, go to 2 Corinthians 4. I'm trying to look for where to land, right? But we'll land carefully. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Now, what did Paul tell you about the gospel in 1 Corinthians? It is the message that speaks about the Christ that died for sins and was buried and rose again for sin. What did John tell you was found in the beginning? In the beginning was the Word. So the Word in him was life, and the life was light to men, right? And the Word became flesh. So it means that in Moses' Genesis, you find life, you find light, you find the Word, and you find Jesus by extension. How do we know? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Yeah. So what is that gospel? Christ died for sins according to the scriptures and rose according to the scriptures for sins and sins alone. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You see, blind, minds, light, minds. So a man receives light, and you say he receives the word, and you say he receives what? Life. So Paul now tells you, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. He says, lest the light of the glorious gospel. You see, we're back to that same gospel. So the glorious gospel has a light. What is the light? He now tells you, who is the image of God? So the light is the image. So Genesis 1, in God said, let there be light. That light is actually Genesis 1:27. The image, God said, let us make man in his own image. Yeah. So the image in Genesis 1:27 is the light in Genesis 1:3, which is the word according to John. Are we here? Right? I'll say that again. So John makes you see, yeah, putting scriptures together, you see that actually John is showing you that the light of Genesis is the image of Genesis and is really the life of Genesis. Are we together? And that life is the life, right, that comes with the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So, what light do we shine? We shine the light of Jesus. Yet, what did Paul say? Paul said he first received the light, then he delivered the light. So, as he received, he gave. Right? So, look at verse 6, it now tells you, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light. So what is the real light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So go to Genesis 1. Go to Genesis 1. Go to Genesis 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Let me now show it to you clearly so you could see. I mean, we've done this over time extensively, especially in the salvation series, right? So Genesis 1 now tells you, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What did John tell you must find in this beginning? The word. What is the word? The life. What is the life? The life. The light. Yeah, so that's what you see in verse 2. When you now see, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, who was to receive light? If you now go to verse 3, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, God said, let there be light. What did Paul tell you about light? Right? In whom the God of this world has blinded their heart, so that is men. So it's men that don't receive light. Did you see that? So men are the people who don't receive light. Yeah, so when you see God said, let there be light, what did Paul tell you in 2 Corinthians 4:6? Yeah, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone the light of the glory. Okay, go back there quickly. I just wanted to see it yourself, okay? I want to see it yourself. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:6. Yeah, so he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness had shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Right? So God said, let there be light. What is the light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So go back to Genesis 1. Eh? Genesis 1. Look at Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. So God said, let there be light. Verse 3. God said, let there be light. Who was to receive light? The Bible tells me in John 1, in him was light, and the light was the light of men. So who are the people to receive light? So the people to receive the light of Genesis 1, or Genesis 1 as light, is for people. So it means that when you read Genesis 1, 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was upon the face of water, it speaks about people. So darkness was amidst men, and God said, let there be man, the light. So man is to receive God's light. Right? Look at it again. So when it says, and the Spirit of God moved, yeah? So the Spirit of God is the life of God, is the light of God, and is the Word of God. Did you see that? Yeah? So the Word of God, John 1, yeah, is the life of God, it is the light of God, and it is the Spirit of God. The life of God is the Spirit of God. So, and the Spirit of God, so when it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, of the waters, yeah, it means that the solution to the darkness amidst men, which is light, is seen in the light that is offered to man, which is called the face of the waters or the face of the deep. So, the face of the deep is the face of the waters that speak about people. Yeah, so what was amidst these people? Darkness. What is the solution? The Spirit of God, which is the light of God, which is the life of God, which is the Word of God. So when man receives the Word of God, he receives the light of God. Now, who is that person? John now tells you, and the Word was made flesh. So light was made flesh, life was made flesh, yeah, the Word was made flesh. Yeah, the Spirit made flesh, that's so seen by men. Okay, so it means that that same person, yeah, is the total, how do I say this now? That same person is the total theme, the total fulcrum of scriptures. Right, so go back to Revelation 1. I did a lot of that to just explain a few things in Revelation 1, right? So look at Revelation 1:1. Revelation chapter 1. So the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, can we say the revelation of the Word? Okay, yes, we can. Can we say the revelation of life? Yes, we can. Can we say the revelation of light? Yes, we can. Can we say the revelation of the Spirit of God? Yes, we can. So, the revelation of Jesus is the revelation of God's light, which is the revelation of God's life, which is the revelation of God's Word, which is the revelation of God's Spirit. Are we together? So, when there is light, darkness has no place, has no say again. Yeah, so the light that shines and darkness cannot comprehend is in the person of Jesus. Right? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, right? Reveal the light of the knowledge and glory of God in the person, in the face of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is that expression of light to mankind. So it means that when you want to read about the person called light, there shouldn't be any darkness when you read. So when you read Revelation, you should come out full of light. You should see light. You should see light. So you don't see, you shouldn't really have gray areas in Revelation. So, whilst we have gray areas, yeah, we really should not have gray areas. Why? Because it is a book that reveals light. Yeah, so think about it. It's almost like a tautology. Yeah, light reveals. Yeah, so when light is shone into a room, it reveals what is there. So, when we now say we are revealing light. You see, almost like a tautology. Yeah, that which reveals is light. So, when you say you reveal light, you can interchange the words. Yeah, so the revelation of light. First of all, light reveals. Yeah. So the revelation before the light just makes you see that really, really, truly, yeah, it is actually for darkness to be quenched in the hearts of men. Are we together? Are we together? So look at Ecclesiastes 9 quickly. Let me show you something quickly. Or before you go there, look at Genesis or look at Matthew. Let's look at Matthew. Okay, you know what? Let's look at Luke. Just look at Luke. Look at Luke. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 24. Look at Luke 24, 24. See what it says there. It says, "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, as love had to believe all that the prophet has spoken about. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Beginning at where? Moses. So beginning at "let there be light." Beginning at "in the beginning." Did you see that? Yeah. Beginning at Moses. Beginning at the beginning. And then the prophets. Yeah, so it means that when you go through the writings of the prophet and you go through the writings of Moses, you should see a person, right? That same person you see in Genesis, Moses' Genesis, is the same person you see in Luke, and the same person you should see in John's Revelation. Yeah, look at Ecclesiastes 9. Let me show you something quickly there. Ecclesiastes 9. Look at Ecclesiastes 9. Verse 14. Look at verse 14. "There was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city." Are we together? "And yet no man remembered the same poor man. Now, then said I, wisdom, right, is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard." Now look at 17. "And the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth amongst fools." Now, this is a writing in Ecclesiastes that talks about how he was made poor that we might be rich. So, Jesus is that poor wise man who delivered the little city. Yeah, so in the poverty of Jesus, we see the riches we receive. Now, what did Jesus really do to that city? He shed light to that city. Yeah, what came to that city? Rescue came. So light is rescue, life is rescue, the word is rescue. Are we together? Look at Acts 20. Acts 20, 28. Look at Acts 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20:20. Remember we saw on Sunday, how did Jesus deal with death? How did Jesus bring deliverance to that city? Yeah, he submitted himself to death, and by dying, he had victory over death. Yeah, so Jesus dealt with death by dying. Yeah, we dealt with that yesterday, right? So look at it. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you what? Overseers." Right? "To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." So there will be a people from a little city that will now be God's choice or God's own based on the wisdom of the poor wise man. Right? Now, the poor wise man supplies light, supplies life. Now, from this, you see, he supplies blood. Yeah. So the blood is really his life. The light is the spirit. His spirit is his light. His light is his word. Yeah, the same thing. Did you see all of that? Right? The same thing. So, that same poor wise man, that same wise man that brought salvation, that brought riches to you, yeah, that brought riches to you, is that same man who you will see, yeah, who is that same man who you will see as being revealed in the book of Revelation. Yeah? Look at Revelation again. So, go back to Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. Okay? So, let's take a step at a time again, okay? Back a step. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Did he say the revelation of false prophets? Nope. The revelation of Antichrist? Nope. I said something on Sunday. Let me say it one more time. The book of Revelation doesn't carry the word Antichrist at all. The author of Revelation is the only author in scriptures that uses Antichrist. Yeah, I'll say it again. The author of the book of Revelation is the only author in scriptures that used the word Antichrist. And he used it in his 1st John, 2nd John. Yeah, but the book of Revelation at all did not carry the word Antichrist. So the book of Revelation is not to reveal the Antichrist. It's not to reveal the end of kingdom. It is to reveal Jesus Christ. So we know we are reading the book of Revelation well, where we live with an exalted view of light, where we live with an exalted view of his blood, where we live with an exalted view of his light, where we live with an exalted view of Jesus. How do you know we've done this study well? We see Jesus in the midst of what is written in Revelation. Yeah, because the book to reveal Jesus. Praise God. Yeah, no part of God's word lends itself to mockery. Yeah, there's no part of God's word that lends itself to fear. Yeah, God's word is not given to promote fear. God's word is not given to promote timidity. Yeah, God's love actually dismantles fear, not promotes fear. So if God is love, and love, and God is Jesus, and Jesus is love, when you reveal Jesus, fear lives. Bible tells you in 1 John, it says, perfect love casts out fear. So there is no fear found in love. So the book of Revelation is a revelation of God's love, which is a revelation of God's Jesus, which is a revelation of God's light. God's light. See, don't miss the words I'm saying. Yeah. So we are trying to establish how Jesus is life. Life is light. Light is the spirit. The spirit is the blood. The blood is what again? The blood is his love. Yeah. The love again is the word. You see that? The same thing. So John refers to this as a prophecy. So look at what he says again. He says in verse 2, he says, who bear record, right, of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. He says, blessed is he that readeth, verse 3, and they that hear the words of this word, prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So John refers to this as prophecy. So we need to tread it carefully. So there are certain aspects of it that might happen or might not happen. That should help you again in Bible study, right? Yeah, a prophecy is not every prophecy that is said that will happen. Is that not true? Yeah, you think about it now. Yeah, think about it. Yeah, not every prophecy that is said will happen in certain ways that will happen in those ways. Think about it very well. Yeah, you've been in believers' meetings. There are certain things people have said over your life and you thought it would have happened by now, but they might happen tomorrow. Yeah, so when you talk about prophecies, yeah, it now begins to tell you it might happen or might not happen. So whilst the book of Revelation reveals Jesus, yeah, you consider the book as a prophecy of certain things that might or might not. So look at verse 4. Let's look at that verse 4. John to the seven churches, yeah, I took it to what the church foundation is about, Acts 20, right? He says, feed the flock which Christ has purchased with his blood. So John is now writing to the churches, which are where? Asia. So John is the one that gets the revelation, and John is the one that writes the book of Revelation, and John tells you that there are words of prophecy, and John tells you that, oh, he's writing to seven churches which are where in Asia. So it means that the book of Revelation particularly has certain churches in mind. Or let's say this way, a part of the book of Revelation has certain churches in mind. By extension, other churches we learn from. How to get that? So to the seven churches which are in Asia. It says, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Look at this way. Grace be unto you, yeah, and peace from him which is, right, which was and which is. So that or whoever, him which is and him which was and him which is to come is the same person. So let me say this way. That which was or him which was, him which is and him which is to come, in all the tenses of human experiences, is the same person. Did you see that? See it again. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was. So in all tenses of human experience, it's the same person. Jesus is the same. Yeah. So Hebrews now tells you, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So same yesterday which was, yeah, same today which is, and that which, so Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So begin to take it easy. Now we have started entering the book of Revelation. Just take it easy. Take it easy. In the book of Revelation, we see the revelation of his throne. In the revelation of Jesus, we see the revelation of his throne. Why? Because he's the king, right? Right? So Jesus, who is the king, we see a revelation of his throne. Are we together? Please be careful. Be careful when you see seven spirits. Just take it a step at a time. So, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, right? Who is the faithful witness, hold on, and the first begotten of the dead. Jesus is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Look at that again. Remember, we've done several teachings about the first fruit. Yeah, and we spoke about how the first fruit is a way of teaching about the first begotten from the dead. Right? That which is first harvested or first put away. Right? So Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. Right? So, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. So Jesus is the first begotten in that like manner, that same spirit that was in him, likewise the spirit will help our infirmity and we shall rise again just like Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is a faithful witness that is the first begotten from the dead. So what does faithful mean, faithful witness mean? The first begotten from the dead. So the faithful witness means he is the first begotten from the dead. So he's the first to rise from the dead. He is the first that initiated a new inheritance. Yeah, he is the initiator of the new inheritance. He became a prince by the resurrection. Yeah, look at it again. Let me read verse 5 again carefully. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. How did he become a prince? He became a prince by becoming the first begotten, by being the faithful witness. So that faithful witness is the first begotten and the prince of kings of the earth. He says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Yeah. So how did he wash us from our sins? In his blood. He washed us by the resurrection, by the giving of the spirit. So the kings of the earth means Jesus is speaking of a new kingdom. So if he's the prince of the kings of the earth, it means that he's speaking of a unique kingdom or is associated with a particular kingdom. What is unique to that particular kingdom? It is a combination of people who have been washed from their sins by his blood. Are we together? So, Jesus is speaking of a new kingdom, right? So, John to the seven churches, he now tells you from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten. So, the resurrection of Jesus is the start or the beginning of another kingdom. A new kingdom, a new Jerusalem. Yet we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. That city begins upon the resurrection. Hallelujah. Yet we have come to Mount Zion, the city, the general assembly. Yet the church of the firstborn. Praise God. The called out, the ecclesia, the taken out, the put aside, the set aside. Yeah. So the kings of that, so that earth that is a prince of will be a new kingdom. So when you see the, so when you see the prince of the kings of the earth, that earth has to deal with the earth that has to do with the washing from sins by the blood of Jesus. So in his blood, so by his, he washed us from our sins in his own blood, in his own blood, in his own blood. All together. So it means that when reading Revelation, we start with those that are clear. Yeah. So we start understanding. So by the time you start understanding the blood of Jesus, yeah, you start understanding what is left after blood. Right. So the blood of Jesus washed us from our sins. So what is the blood for? The blood of Jesus is not to kill men. It is to wash men from their sins. Yeah. So I command in the name of Jesus. Yeah. So why you see people use the blood, yeah, to kill is actually based on their understanding. Yeah. So the blood washes from sin, not to kill. Look at it again. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So the blood is not to kill men. Yeah, so what is the purpose of the blood? The blood is to wash from sin, that is to end the dominion of sin over men. So what is the purpose of the blood? The blood is to establish a new kingdom that will have kings. And by that resurrection, he becomes the prince of the kings. So the blood of Jesus sets man free from sin. So in setting men free, he makes those men that have been washed, he makes them kings. So of whom he is now their prince. You see, ideally you would have seen king, then prince. You know, prince is after king, but he's the prince of kings. Wow. Book of Revelation is a very interesting book. Yeah, just take it easy, okay? Yeah, so making these those men kings in the resurrection, and he is their prince. How did he become prince? He became prince by the resurrection. He became prince in the resurrection. So by being the first begotten from the dead, he is the prince of that kingdom of kings. Are we here? So our kingship is in his priesthood. Yeah, ideally, the priesthood is in his kingship, right? But our kingship is in his priesthood. In his priesthood, rather. So his priesthood is in the resurrection. So resurrection produces a prince. The prince produces kings. So that's why you now see, Peter now tells you, for you are a royal priesthood. Yeah, you are. So there is the royalty that comes with the resurrection. There is that which comes with being the first begotten from the dead. That is a new kingdom, a new domain, a new sphere, a new earth. Yeah, so when you start seeing the Bible, Revelation tells you, heaven and earth shall pass away. Okay, we're jumping, right? Okay, so our kingship is found in his priesthood. His priesthood is found in his resurrection. So it means our kingship is in his resurrection. So how are we kings? We are kings because our sins have been washed based on the resurrection that made him a prince. Yeah, okay. So it means that there is a dominion of God. It means there's a kingdom of God. Yeah, so, okay, hold on in Revelation chapter 1 and go with me to Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. We're Revelation 1, right? Look at Luke 24 quickly. Luke 24, verse 20. Look at Luke 24, 20. I need Luke 24, 20. Look at it. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified. They were talking about Jesus. Please read 21 carefully. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were what? Were done. Look at Acts 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So Jesus teaches for 40 days, and the first question they ask him in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So it means that by prophecy, they knew that this Jesus Christ will come with a kingdom. They thought the kingdom would be kingdom of Israel. That's why they said in Luke 24, we thought it would have been he that would redeem kingdom. Now, backtrack. Yeah, an imposter was in power, ruling by force. So they were expecting that Messiah to outthrow him, right? Outrule him and begin to rule over them. So when Jesus talked for 40 days, they said, Oga, how come you talked for 40 days? You did not talk about this kingdom that we have an imposter in power. And he said unto them, it is not for you. He now says, to know the time of season, you shall receive power. To know the times of all the seasons which the Father has put in his power, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. So there's a power that comes with his priesthood. What is the power about? The power of the resurrection that makes us kings. Look at Isaiah 9, verse 6. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, right? And his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Right? So there is a government of God that is on the shoulder of Jesus. What government is that? The government in which you are a king and I am a king. How did we become kings? By the washing of the blood, right? By the washing of our sins by his blood. Does that bring clarity? Are you clear with that? Do you get that? Yeah. So there's a government that shall be upon his shoulder. Yeah. By the government being upon his shoulder, he becomes the prince of that government. Anybody that comes into that government, under that rule of that government, is a king. How do you become a king? You become a king because your sins have been washed by his blood. So his blood washes your sins, makes you a king in his government. So under his government, yeah, we have kings, right? And we have a prince that carries the government on his shoulder. And his name is what? The Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Remember, how did Jesus win the battle over the war, over the sin and death? Yeah, he won the war or put things in the right place, or he established his righteousness by the war of peace. So God is a man of good. Jesus is a man of war. God is a mighty man in battle. Yeah, what is mighty man in battle? The man who fights a war without lifting a finger and restores things back to how they ought to be. That is the real war. Yeah, we started it out yesterday. So the name of this man, whose government, that the government shall be upon his shoulder, is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Priests. Are we together? So, since the resurrection is spiritual, it means that our kingship is in his resurrection, and our kingship is what? Spiritual. Are we together? Whilst you are not a king on this earth, you are a king in the spiritual. You get that? So, he did the action of the washing. He washed us from our sins. What do? We receive the action of his washing. In receiving it, we are coronated into his kingdom. Yeah, in being coronated in this kingdom, we are coronated into the throne of kingship. Yeah, with him being the Lord. Yeah, which is actually and being the prince of we as kings. So we have our sins. We have his washings. Whose benefit is it for? It's for us. So our sins, his washings, are for us. His washings of our sins is for us to benefit. So what is the blood? Yeah, you know, we've explained before in Numbers, where the Bible tells you that the life of an animal is in the blood, right? Yeah, the life of a being is in the blood. So what is the blood about? The blood is about his life. His life is about his spirit. His spirit is about his light. His life is about the word. His word is about the what again? Love. Yeah, back to where we are coming from. So go back to Revelation now. Revelation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Revelation 1:5. What a way to start, okay? So, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten, I mean the first begotten of the dead, I mean the prince of the kings of the earth. Yeah, what earth is that? Remember, the new God's new Jerusalem. Yeah, look at Galatians. Look at Galatians 4. Let me show you something quickly there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. Look at Galatians 4, 22. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. He says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, and one was by the bondmaid and the other of the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he who was of the free woman was by promise. He says, these things are an allegory. Now, what's an allegory? It's a figure of speech that talks about when a story points to another story. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and it answered to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Now, people from Israel, from Jerusalem, thought there was something very, 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 very unique to them because they were born from Jerusalem, or they were born by Jewish people. What did Paul now tell you? That Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her heirs, with her inheritance, with her children. Yeah, in that tells you, but there is Jerusalem which is above that is free and is the mother of us all. So the Jerusalem that is above is God's kingdom, where Jesus is the prince, and Jesus is the mother of us all as kings. Did you get that, right? Yeah, did you get that? So the Jerusalem which is above is free. Yeah, that freedom, yeah, is actually is that which has made us to become kings. What freedom did we really receive? The freedom of the washing of our sins, right? So how did he wash our sins? He washed our sins by his blood. Now, I've taught severally in church, that the blood of Jesus that washed your sins is not the physical blood. Yeah, what made you saved is not the blood that came out from his body. Dear saints, yeah, it's not the blood. The blood is actually a type, a pointer. Look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter, is it chapter 9? Let me get that quickly. Hebrews chapter 9. Yes, Hebrews 9. Look at Hebrews 9:14. Right? Hebrews 9:14. It says, how much more, look at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, right, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purified of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God? So, what did Jesus really offer? The hemoglobin in his body or his spirit? Yeah, he actually offered his spirit to man. Altogether. Yeah, so when you go back to Revelation, look at Revelation chapter 1. I took you there to just say that. Yeah, so there's a Jerusalem that's from above, which is free. Every other Jerusalem, yeah? So you can be born in Jerusalem, born from Jerusalem parents, if you don't believe the message of the new Jerusalem, yeah, you are in bondage. That's just the summary of what I'm saying, right? So when you see John in Revelation, he says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his what? In his own blood. So what is his blood? His blood is his life. So his life, so the giving of his life to us is the washing of our sins. You see, it's easy to assume that the washing of our sins is about the liquid from his body. Why? Because it says wash. Yeah? Or the blood is about his liquid. It says wash. Yeah, but really the blood is about his life. The blood is about his spirit. Yeah, what is the blood that he offered to mankind? Eternal spirit without spot. Yeah, that's what Hebrews tells you. So the blood is about his life. His life is about his spirit. His spirit is about the life from the dead. So if he's alive, it means that a man who receives that becomes a king while he is the prince of that kingdom, the heavenly Jerusalem. Right? So not the red blood cells. Are we together? So he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. So a good way to read that would be Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins by his spirit. You see that? Now, see that verse 6. And had made us kings and priests. You see that? So we are kings in that earth, and we are priests in that earth. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter... look at 1 Peter chapter. Look at 1 Peter 2. Look at 1 Peter 2. Look at 1 Peter 2 9. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope you're learning something. We have quite a few things to cover. And you know, when I say few things, it means that we have a long way to go. So look at 1 Peter 2 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation. Hello. What does chosen generation now mean? We are kings of that earth in which is the prince. Are we together? Yeah. He now tells you what a royal priesthood. The royalty deals with the kingship. The priesthood deals with the service. You see that? A what? Holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of what? Darkness. I hope everything is joining up in our mind. Right? So we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is marvelous light? His marvelous life. What is marvelous life? His marvelous love. What is marvelous love? His marvelous word. You see that? So you see, from where we started, you see where we are trying to tie the knot around for this evening. So ye are a chosen generation. That is, you are kings of that earth, yeah, in which Jesus is the prince. Did you get that? You are kings of that earth in which Jesus is the prince. You are kings of that earth in which Jesus is the priest. Is the prince, rather. So his priesthood in the resurrection makes us a chosen generation, and we are royal, and we are priests. So we are a royal priesthood. We are kings that have priestly assignments. We are an holy nation, a peculiar people. What is a peculiar people? A chosen people. A chosen people who have been washed. So what makes us peculiar? The fact that we've been washed by his blood, which is by his spirit. So being washed by his blood makes us peculiar people, makes us a chosen generation. That you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of what? Darkness. So what does it mean to call us out of darkness? It means that he has delivered us from our sins. Hallelujah. And he has brought us into his marvelous kingdom. What is in his marvelous kingdom? His marvelous light. What is there? His life, his blood, his spirit. Right? His life from the resurrection. His spirit from the resurrection. Yeah, the forgiveness of sins. We are a chosen generation. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So go back to Revelation, right? So Revelation 1:6. He has made us kings and priests. Can we say he has made us royal priests? Yeah. So we are kings who have the work of service unto our God, which is our Father. All together. So he has made us kings and priests unto God that is his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that word there, amen, is not a prayer. It means done, fulfilled, accomplished. So the dominion, or let's say this way, the priesthood is his power to wash men from their sins. What makes him a prince of a kingdom? It is because men come into that kingdom by their sins being washed by his blood. So the dominion that Jesus took, when he says, and he had made us kings and priests, dominion, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Done, fulfilled. It means that what? The dominion is his power to wash men from their sins. The dominion is his power to separate men and make them peculiar people. The dominion is in his power to separate men and make them a chosen generation, a generation of kings of the earth. In whom he is the prince. Hallelujah. So a large portion, see, this is just John's introduction to Revelation. So a large portion of the book of Revelation will explain in more details the different formats, the things that or in a different format, the things that are done and the things that will be done or the things that have been done. I'll say it again. To a large extent, the book of Revelation is to reveal the person of Jesus. Now, you might see that being revealed in different formats, but the goal is that what? Jesus is revealed. Hallelujah. So you might see different formats, different techniques, different use of words, different figures of speech, but it's about the person Jesus Christ. So the power to wash men from their sins and to make them priests and kings is what? The ability of God to be a prince. So God is the prince, right? In Jesus, let's use Jesus, right? Which is the same thing you get, right? But Jesus is the prince of the new Jerusalem, where we have peculiar people, which are chosen generation, which have been called into the ministry of priesthood, and they are made kings. That's who you are, they're saying. That's who you are. Yeah, that's who you are. So, let me say it again. God, in his son, has made his son a prince of a kingdom, where you have kings who have been washed from their sins, right? And who are now made kings, or who are now made kings, or made priests, so that they can what? Render service to their father. That's about you. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. So the power to wash men from their sins and to make them priests, right? That is the priesthood of Jesus. That is the dominion of Jesus. That is the lordship of Jesus. So the power of Jesus in Revelation is to turn a man that is a sinner to a saint. That's dominion of Jesus, really. That's the real dominion. Yeah, that's the dominion of Jesus. Yeah, the power to change a man who is a sinner to be a saint. Yeah, to be a saint, a royal priest. Yeah, to turn a sinner to a saint. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of the blood. So when they say, what is the efficacy of the blood? What does the blood do? The blood has the enabling power to turn a great sinner to a saint. That's God's dominion. Yeah, that's how God rules over the earth. That's how God rules over men. Yeah, to bring men into that great kingdom, for men to become peculiar people, for men who were sinners to become peculiar people, a holy nation. Hallelujah. So it means that, so you see blood. You see blood from sin. So blood is the testimony of the book of Revelation. Yeah, so wait. Let me help you take it. I jumped further, right? Look at this. Revelation, the book of Revelation reveals the person Jesus. You get that, right? What did Jesus do? He, by his blood, washed men from sin. So it means that the book of Revelation reveals Jesus, number one. It reveals men washed from sins, number two. He also reveals the blood. What is the blood? His spirit. You get that? Yeah. So the blood is the testimony of the book of Revelation. And overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. You've seen it, right? Gradually, you've seen it, right? Overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is what? The words of his testimony. Praise Jesus. I'll follow. Yeah. So the blood is the testimony of the book of Revelation. So can we say the book of Revelation, we say the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, or we say the revelation of the blood of Jesus to John, or the revelation of the spirit of Jesus to John. What again? Spirit, life, revelation of life to John, revelation of life to John, revelation of the word to John, revelation of the victory of the blood to John. Are we together? So the book of Revelation is a bloody book. Did you see that? Yeah, the book of Revelation is a bloody book. A book that is meant to reveal blood. What is his blood? His spirit. Are we together? Let me touch one more thing today. Right, so look at verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all his kindred of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now look at verse 8. I am Alpha and what? Omega. The beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the what? The Almighty. What is Alpha Omega? Yeah, beginning, end. Right? So what did John tell you is it was in the beginning, the Word. So when Jesus says I'm the Alpha and Omega, it means I'm the Word. I am that Word. Right? Genesis 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Right? So I am that Word, that was, that is, and that which is to come. So in the beginning is the word seen and at the end. So the word seen at the beginning is seen at the end. Remember, which was, which is, which is to come. So I am the word at the beginning. Yeah. You are the word at the beginning. Yeah. The word at the beginning is the word at the end. That which was, that which is, that which is to come. So in the beginning is the word seen and is the same word seen at the end. So the word seen at the beginning is the word seen at the end. That's what I meant to say all this while. Yeah, so the word spoken at the beginning, the end is now that what? We are washed from our sins. That's the new Jerusalem. You see that? The fulfillment of the beginning words is in the fact that men are separated from their sins by the blood of Jesus, by the giving of the Spirit. So the word spoken in Revelation, in Genesis, in the beginning, for instance, will be fulfilled, will be accomplished in the fact That, so are there men who have been washed from their sins? It means that, so that's why you see the Alpha. So while it was in the world in the beginning, in the prophecy, we still see that word as that which washes man from sin. Yeah, so that which was at the word, or that word which was spoken at the beginning, the end is now that we are what? We are washed from our sins. It is done. That's the end. Yeah, Alpha, Omega. So Alpha through Omega. Alpha and Omega. Yeah, Alpha the start, even the end. So I am the Alpha, even the end. The beginning, even the ending, says the Lord. So everything about the kingdom of God, the word is the beginning and the end. So we see the word spoken, now prophesied, or fulfilled rather, in men being separated from their sins. So that which has begun has ended in the fact that prophecies of the prophets have now been fulfilled. How? Men that were sinners are now saved, and they are now kings and priests, washed free from their sins. Altogether. So with the task to dress and to keep. Remember that, right? Remember that. So from Genesis chapter 1, Adam, we taught that severally. Adam was to dress and keep the what? Garden. And we taught the dressing and the keeping as a Mosaic conversation to speak about rendering service. What is the service now we've been called into? We are kings that have been called into the work of priesthood, which is what? Service. So men that were sinners are now saved. We are now kings in that kingdom, in that saving, and we have been washed from our sins with a task, with a responsibility to dress and to keep the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Praise God. You didn't see that coming, right? So the Garden of Eden was to be dressed, or is to be dressed by men. Yeah, who are those men? They are men who are priests. And who have been made priests and have made kings in the priesthood of Jesus' government. All together. So I am the fulfillment of what Moses wrote at the beginning. That's what he's saying. I am the Alpha, even the Omega. I am the fulfillment of what Moses wrote at the beginning. So Moses will say, Garden of Eden, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Yet that fulfillment is seen now that men have been washed, separated from their sins. Altogether. So in the book of Revelation, there are things that are said by the Lord directly. So if you have a good Bible there, you see that phrase is in red. Yeah. So what does that mean? Yeah. More often than not, yeah, it means that is the words of our Lord and Savior. So in the book of Revelation, there are things that are said by the Lord directly, but it's not the Lord that is speaking all through the book of Revelation. Remember, let's identify three people first. First of all, we say Jesus speaks. Altogether. Angel speaks. Altogether, John speaks. So there are three speakings, first for now, as we are going forward, in the book of Revelation. Jesus first comes to identify himself, the beginning of scriptures and the end of what scriptures promised. I am the word. I am that fulfillment. I am he who was. Right? I am that, I am he who, which is, which was, and which is to come. Yeah, so I am who the promise has been about. I am he who is bringing to fulfillment the promise of the government of God. I am he who will be the prince of kings and priests in the air. Yeah, so God is a God that has a kingdom with kings and priests. So you are a king, you are a priest. Yeah, a lot of us pay attention to our kingly aspect, but neglect the priesthood part. Yeah, the priesthood does is about service, rendering of service, doing the work of a priest. Yeah, rendering the work of service to mankind to bring more men into the life, the light, the word of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I am he who was promised at the beginning. I am he who will bring to fulfillment the promise. And so the almightiness of God in the book of Revelation is that he has washed man from sins. So the almightiness of God is not seen in the fact that he kills sinners. No, it's seen in the fact that he washes sinners from their sin. He separates sinners from their sin. That's where you see God as almighty. You see that? Look at it now. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. So that Almighty is seen in the fact that his blood washes men from sin, makes those men kings and priests in his kingdom, which is his government, whereby he is the prince of that government. Altogether. So the almightiness of God makes a sinner right, righteous, makes a sinner saved, separates a sinner from this bondage of sin and death. Hallelujah. So he will allow men to take of his own life, then he will rise from the dead, and the dead that they put upon him, so that men can become members of that great government. Altogether. So how does God end the power of evil? God ends the power of evil by simply submitting himself to evil for evil to have rule over him. So God ends the power of evil by simply dying and rising from the dead. That's a great war. That's a great war we are fighting. Yeah, so God, look at Hebrews 2. Look at Hebrews 2. We saw it on Sunday. Let me show you again if you're not here. Look at Hebrews 2, right? Look at Hebrews 2, 14. Yeah, God's power or God's almightiness is seen in the fact that he takes a sinner and creates a saint out of him. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through the death he might what? Through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is, so who has the power of death? The devil. How did God destroy him that had the power of death? He destroyed him that died. So Jesus partook in death so that he can destroy death. So Jesus gave death a last card, a checkout card, by what? By dying. Praise God. I hope you're following. Right? So God's almightiness is seen in the fact that he partakes of death and rising from the dead. That's the victory. That's the victory of God. That's the victory. That's the almightiness of God in display. So, you are a mighty man in battle. You are a mighty God, the great I am. Hallelujah. The mightiness of God is in the fact that let God arise, let his enemies be dumbfounded. So, upon the death in the resurrection, we see the victory of God. Hallelujah. To bring men into that inheritance, to bring men into that government, so that men can now become kings and priests. So, God's almightiness doesn't kill sinners. God's almightiness actually ends the dominion of sins over men, or sin over men. Yeah, so that Jesus is the Jehovah. Jehovah is the King of Kings. Jehovah is the mighty man of war. So that mighty man of war of Moses, the Jehovah of Moses, is the Jesus, the Almighty God, who doesn't kill sinners, but brings the rule of the dominion of sin over men. So is God a bloodthirsty God? No. What does God do with blood? He gives. So if God is in a combat and blood is needed, what will God do? He will surrender himself. We see that clearly in the resurrection. We see that clearly in the death and the burial and the resurrection. Yet, so if there was a contest and blood was needed, blood, God is not bloodthirsty. Blood is God-giving. And rather, God is blood-giving. God is not bloodthirsty. God doesn't test, doesn't ask, doesn't look for. No, he supplies his blood, which is his spirit. So he hands himself over to be terrorized by men, and he now gives man his spirit so that they can what? Be kings and priests in his kingdom. That heavenly Jerusalem, the Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Hallelujah. So the vengeance of God has a lot to do in the to be explained in the context of man. So if God has the vengeance man thinks he has or should have, it should have been in the fruit of the Spirit. Altogether. Yeah, look at it. So when you say the fruit of the Spirit, you call it the fruit of life, the fruit of his life, the fruit of his love, right? Are we together? The fruit of his spirit, the fruit of his life, the fruit of his light. Yeah, are we here? The fruit of his love. Yeah, so the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, so is vengeance there? No. Are we together? So the vengeance a lot of people have about God, the mindset about God, is something that we need to check thoroughly. So when it comes to man, God surrenders himself to man. Why? He wants to supply his spirit to man. So there is no possibility of God losing a battle in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. So again, there is no possibility of God losing a battle in the book of Revelation. Right, so when man would have thought he was losing that battle, for instance, he came up in the resurrection, right? And by extension, we see what the giving of the Spirit. So it means that when you read Revelation chapter 1, it already tells you the end or the goal. What is it? The beginning, Jesus. The beginning, Jesus. The end, Jesus. So Revelation 1 tells us the end, Jesus. The beginning, Jesus. The beginning and the end, Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Christ is the victory of God. Hallelujah. Christ is the victory of God. 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 That is how Christ fights. God fights his battle. God fights his battle by surrendering himself to man, for man to take his life, right? And he gave back his life to mankind, for man to live forevermore. Hallelujah. So God is a mighty man of war. Is that true? Jehovah is the mighty man of war. Are we together? He is the mighty man of war. He is the mighty man of war. Okay, look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Are you in Isaiah 42, verse 1? He says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be what? Discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law." Look at verse 5. So, who is that servant that you think is in Isaiah 42? He's actually Jesus now. Jesus is the servant. Yeah, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flux shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto the truth. Yeah, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. Yeah, that's Jesus. And the isle shall wait for his law. Look at verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and he which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Verse 7, look at it carefully. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison. Can you see that? So to bring prisoners from prison into his kingdom, to make them kings and priests. Right? And them that sit in darkness out of the prison's house. Look at verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. So the glory is that he is the one whose blood, remember, we read Revelation chapter 1. It says, glory and dominion forever and ever fulfilled. Amen. So when it says, my glory will I give to no other, or will I not give to another, the glory is in the fact that he is the one in whose blood our sins are washed. That's the glory of God. Are we together? Behold, the former things have come to pass. The new things do I declare. Before the spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the earth and the inhabitant thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages of Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the island. Yeah, look at verse 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. Hey, glory to God. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Yeah, so as God gone forth as a mighty man, yeah, we see that in the resurrection. Did he prevail against the enemies? Yes, we see that in the resurrection. Are we together? So, I have long time holding my peace, yet I have been still and refrained myself. Now I cry like a traveling woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills dry. So, if you keep reading from Isaiah 42, you will see how he speaks about the work of that servant in the real sense, and speaks about the mightiness of the man, and speaks about the war that is fought. Yeah? Okay, hold on. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12, 21. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Romans 12, 21. So, look at it. Romans 12, verse 19. It says, dearly beloved, yeah, avenge not yourselves. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Now, it says, therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. We saw that on Sunday. Look at 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, when you see, why do you suppose you are to overcome evil with God? Yeah, it is because that is, evil with good rather, that is found in God. So, God prevails against his enemies by overcoming evil with good. So, Jesus is the food that God feeds his enemies with, and in feeding them, he won the war. So, Jesus is the meal that the enemies feasted upon, and in that feasting, that is the war being won. Hallelujah. So they thought that in the feasting they are taking that they were with the victory. But guess what? There was what you call the resurrection. Look at Psalm 68. So man, and God supplies himself to man for man to feast on him. Right? In that feasting, man thought they are putting an end to him. But in the real sense, there is such a thing called the resurrection. Look at Psalm 68, verse 1. It says what? Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. So the enemies that fed on him haven't been supplied as a meal for the enemies. They are what? Dumbfounded. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Are we together? Look at 6. Oh God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens dropped, and the presence of God, every sinner was moved, and the presence of God, and the presence of Israel. So you keep reading that conversation. The Lord gave his word. Great, look at verse 11. The word, Lord gave the word, and what? Great was the company that published it. Are we together? So let God arise. Has God resurrected? Yes. Where did God arise from? In the resurrection. What happens to those enemies? What did he do to the enemies? He supplied himself as food to the enemies. What did the enemies think? They felt like in eating him, they are getting the victory. In the real sense, the victory was in the fact that he will rise again the third day. So the Bible says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let's close in Revelation 1. Let me just tie the knot here for this evening. I hope you've learned something. I hope you've learned something this evening. Look at Revelation 1, right? Revelation chapter 1. Verse 6, and he had made us kings and priests in the resurrection. Let God arise. So God arose, his enemies were scattered, so that other men can be separated from their sins and become kings and priests in his government. Yeah, so it says, behold, he come in a cloud and he pierced him and the kingdom of the earth. I am Alpha, even Omega, beginning, even the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. We said a few things from Revelation 1 to 8. I hope you've learned a few things this evening. We'll continue here tomorrow. Same time, 7 o'clock. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've learned something this evening. Have a lovely night, rest, dear saints. I love you all. Cheers.